Welcome to Abound in Hope, a podcast from Imprint Church. Our goal is to help you apply the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ to everyday life. Hey, traveling partners, welcome back to Abound in Hope. It has been a minute. We sort of took October off, I would say. But we are back now with lots of words that I'm saying out loud, and I'm going to see where they take me to see what's going on. I'm sitting here with two friends. Who have I got?
Tom Regan over here.
And?
Suzanne Hagelin.
That's right. And I don't even remember if I said I'm Rex Gorman.
No, you didn't. Who are you?
I'm Rex Gorman. That's how out of practice I am in all of this. We're excited to be back. We're still going to be doing kind of a bi-monthly thing now, sort of grab bag, depending on who's hosting and who wants to talk about what. But today, we're going to start talking about spiritual disciplines or spiritual practices. Why talk about this now? I guess first good thing to ask is what are the spiritual disciplines, spiritual practices, and where do they come from?
Want to take a stab at that, Suzanne?
Oh, you probably would say it more eloquently.
No, don't worry about that.
I guess it's just, I mean, like you were saying before, the word practices, you like that better than disciplines. It's the habits of a believer.
Yeah, habits is another good word.
Yeah, like just the things that we do on a regular basis that support our spiritual life.
I think the reason that I don't love the word discipline, I know it's a word that's been used for a long time, and I'm not like anti using the word discipline, but I just like the word practices, because the word discipline sometimes carries a connotation of legalism and sort of oppressive, rigid structures and rules around one's life. And I don't like the way that feels, but I also think there's value in acknowledging that discipline is a really important part of life. And to actually have practices where you develop, that's why I like the word that you use, habits. Like, we all have habits, and there are certain habits and practices that Christians have been doing for centuries. And most of everyone who's listening to this, I mean, knows at least some of them, like Bible reading and prayer, and there's more that we can talk about. But it's the reason that I suggested this topic is because, specifically focusing on prayer, is to have a conversation around how have we personally grown. We're not going to do some giant Bible exposition here, but I thought, like, it's just a conversational, like, we're at a table. Maybe you're driving the car and you're listening, but we're sitting here at a table. Like, we were just having a conversation about how have we grown, and maybe that there'll be some valuable things that come out. I think of Suzanne Hagelin, who's one of our prayer leads for Imprint Church, as a super valuable voice in the conversation about prayer.
Yep. And I know how to use the computer.
Yeah. And I know how to talk into a microphone.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I thought I did, and then I started this podcast. So just real quick, a little bit more time parking out on just the idea of what, like, a spiritual habit or a spiritual discipline. Do we have, there's not like an extensive list of these in the Bible. If you read the Bible, what you'll see, though, is you'll see believers, whether that's in the Old Testament or in the New Testament, kind of having the same core practices.
Right.
There's some that are added on there that have been done over church history, but one is prayer. We see that in New and Old Testament. We see corporate worship. We see Sabbath. We see a bunch of other stuff. And the reason here, again, talking about habits, are formative for us.
Right.
You know, it's stuff that we can do on autopilot. And you think about, like, a habit of exercising or something like that. It's hard at first, but then eventually it gets easier for your brain to do so, and the benefits stay there. Just because you're not working as hard doesn't mean that the benefits aren't there. Same thing is true for spiritual disciplines. Reading your Bible consistently might be hard at first, but eventually it gets easier and the benefits come in. Same thing with prayer, same thing with corporate worship, like getting the muscle going in order to...
There's a spiritual momentum or inertia to it where the next time you do it, it becomes easier to do.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think habit is a great word. Practice is a great word.
You can have bad habits and you can have good habits.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Good habits.
You can have habits that malform you. Like, if you have a habit of like...
Eating
nacho cheese for breakfast.
That's a bad habit.
Wait, is that bad?
Gross.
It is bad.
Shoot. If you have a habit of overeating, or if you have a habit of even like over exercising or something like that, you can actually damage yourself. You can damage your body. That's not going to be good for you. But in the same way, other habits can prop you up. Other habits can form you in a better way.
Let me give an example that's probably a little bit more destructive.
Less with nachos.
I mean, you can be in the habit of saying hateful things to yourself.
Absolutely.
Looking in the mirror, or just making a mistake, and then just coming down on yourself with really ugly messages, and those messages become deeply ingrained.
Yes.
And they're directly opposed to the things that the Lord is trying to teach us about himself and about us mm-hmm. as a new creation.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think, yeah, there's lots of habits that form accidentally or on purpose. So it's important for us to steward those things well, especially when it comes to our spiritual growth, because things are going to yeah. affect us in one way or another.
Yeah. And I guess as I was thinking about this conversation, the practices or these habits that we do, these are ways that God has given to us that we have some agency over, that we can, in a sense, control and do and can grow that way. But there are other ways of spiritual growth that are not in our hands. For example, suffering, you know, for example, suffering is one of God's major tools for growing us. And we're not in charge of that.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
And this is what we are, in a sense, in charge of. We're in charge of our schedules at the time.
And I think, like, again, in its worst forms, there have been seasons of the church in which spiritual disciplines have tried to do stuff like that on purpose. So there's been stuff where it's like, you know, self-flagellation stuff, where with hair shirts or
certain
with
forms of
starvation, asceticism, exactly, where people assume, well, if I'm suffering, then God is going to be closer to me. I can earn favor. And that's not what we're talking about here with spiritual disciplines. It's overquoted at Imprint Church, I think, but Dallas Willard has that phrase that grace is not opposed to effort, but it is opposed to earning. So we have some agency when it comes to our spiritual formation and our life in God, our life in Christ. We're not earning anything in doing so, but we can pursue holiness and we can pursue, a closer relationship with Christ, wholeheartedly, and we're not moving into legalism unless you know we think we are earning something there. So but prayer is a great place to start. It's also a big place to start, just because it's so foundational, and yet I feel like so many Christians, if you ask them, how's your prayer life, or could your prayer life be better, most would say yes. So let me ask this just to start out. What is prayer? That's like the most podcasty question in the world. Like, what is prayer? What are we doing when we pray? Why do we pray? Like all that stuff.
I have something that I wrote a few years ago that I brought so I could read it to you guys.
Great.
Because I knew this question was coming. It says, prayer is verbal or nonverbal communication with the living God that establishes and builds a relationship with him. It takes place on multiple levels and involves many different forms. It includes giving and receiving, listening and speaking, responding and observing responses. That's just the first part of something I wrote about that.
I like it.
Yeah, I like that. How does that, where do we see like calls to prayer or prayer being kind of fleshed out in scripture? I know it's interesting. If you look, you see a lot of people praying, but where do we learn to pray? Where do we learn that it's a part of the Christian life?
Gosh, it's all over.
I know.
I mean, probably the place you could go to is in the Psalms, if you want to go Old Testament. Mm-hmm. Much of it is descriptive, right? Like you see the saints praying,
exactly.
You see people praying.
Exactly.
In one sense, prayer is an instinct. Like it's kind of inside of most people.
I would say so. You know, there's some statistic that I'm going to mess up, so I won't quote it, but that's something like, you know, there's a certain percentage of people that profess faith in Jesus, or even that a God exists, and the percentage of people that pray is actually higher than that percentage. People who say they don't believe in God even pray.
Right.
So there is that kind of instinct to appeal to a higher power in that way. What sets Christian prayer apart, prayer with the God of the Bible apart?
Well, I'll tell you the biggest thing, I think, is that we have the Spirit of God. So because the Spirit of God is in us and literally interceding for us, helping us to pray, or, you know, just we have this, like you spoke of instinct, it's like deeper than instinct, a sense of God being our Father. So we're literally, it's like, you know, a baby is born without having seen faces before, but there's something in their brain that
will look for it. Yeah.
It's looking for a face. We're like that. We come into this place where God has sealed us with the Spirit, and then our spirit is searching and we're looking for his face. And there's literally that Psalm that says, my heart said to you, seek my face. And I said, Lord, I'll seek your face. I mean, this is literally the heart of a Christian. And so I think as far as prayer goes, we just are really ignorant, partly because we don't understand the difference between, how can I say this? Being alive and looking for him and actually learning to pray effectively and make it a part of a mature Christian walk.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. I would add to your question, Rex, what makes something distinctly Christian prayer?
Yeah.
I think it's knowing God as Father, because that was what was distinctive of the prayer that Jesus was talking to his disciples about. Like, the pagans pray with many words and they think they're going to be heard for the many words, but your Father knows what you need before you even ask it. And so when he teaches us to pray, our Father.
Yeah, our Father's the first thing he says.
Yes, God is omnipotent and he is a judge and he is a king. He is a ruler. He's all those things. But we're not told to address God as, oh mighty righteous judge. He is a mighty righteous judge, but we're told to call him Father, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So and how does he become our Father? Well, he becomes our Father through our faith in Jesus Christ, through what he has accomplished in Christ. And so that would distinguish Christian prayer from, say, like a Muslim's prayer who doesn't know God the Father through Jesus, because if you don't have Jesus, then you don't have the Father.
Yeah. And, you know, we read in Hebrews last year that there's one mediator between God and man. So I think, like, praying in Jesus' name is another part that makes Christian prayer distinctly Christian. I don't want to gloss over how radical it was for Jesus to start praying with our Father. That wasn't a normal impulse. You know, if you look through the Old Testament, look through the rest of the scriptures, that wasn't something that was like right there. So that would have been shocking to hear for the original hearers.
Yeah, I think God only said like a couple times through prophets that he was a father to them.
Yeah, absolutely. So where do we see, prayer we've kind of said, and I'm going to say it way less eloquently than you said it, but prayer is just communication with God.
Amen.
And we see that pretty early in the story of scripture. You know, we see that right off the bat in the story of scripture. It almost seems, I don't know. It seems oddly informal at some ways, but then at the other time, you know, it's also that's also terrifying. You know, we see like Cain. We get a snapshot of Cain talking with God, and it doesn't. There's not much formality given to it. It's like they're having a conversation. Mm-hmm. But then, by the time Exodus comes around, you know, Moses is speaking with the Lord, and it's you know, he's terrified. He's scared for his life. From those two poles, I guess, what does prayer look like for a Christian?
Yeah, I guess I'm sorry. Going back to the paradigm that I'm running through of Father, it is is this child to Father. It might have been Tim Keller who said the only one who would dare wake up a king in the middle of the night to ask for a glass of water would be his child.
Yeah.
So you can come to him as king. Yeah, he is your king, but he's also your Father. And so I think the posture that we take in prayer, recognizing the great holiness and the majesty of God on one end of the spectrum to very informal or casual, like, I think proper posture of the heart is reverence for who he is and love for who he is. And I would maybe add something. It doesn't change the definition of prayer, of communication with God, but to add the, for the sake of communion, that it's the prayer is given to us, if it's conversation with God, given to us for relationship with him, for communion with him, and not simply to get things out of him. And I think that's probably that's the heart of prayer is communion with God.
Communion.
When Jesus was baptized, we don't hear of him actively praying, but we hear of what the Father said to him. I think often our beginnings of prayer are in response to him reaching out to us, whether it's through worship or scripture or in some fashion. We're responding to him. He's the one that is addressing us.
Right.
And whether it's frightening or not, it could be all over the map. I mean, if we're in rebellion, if we have sin we don't want him to know about, but obviously he does,
right.
That can be scary. Or if he's comforting and, you know, it could just be wonderful.
Yeah, I think of, because ever since I became a Christian in college, and I would hear this phrase, prayer is conversation with God. And I'm like, well, when is he talking to me? Right? Like, there's different traditions, right? And different theologies of understanding how God reveals himself. I'm not one who I would say ever has heard the audible voice of God. I don't think that's all that common, though I do know people and respect and believe are truly like in Christ who hear from God in more direct ways than I ever have. But the most direct way that I think we can all say we hear from him, if we are believers, is through his scripture. Like, he's, the Holy Spirit speaks to us. And so, so in that sense, there's conversation where I, like, if I read the scripture and I'm listening for what God is actually saying to me through the scripture, that meaning is there. And I'm trying to uncover the meaning through responsible, like, biblical reading and interpretation. And then I can respond to God in prayer through that. And so I think one of the things I so appreciate about you, Suzanne, is that you know how to, and you model so often, praying the scriptures. Like, you're basically taking the revelation of God and you're like praying that back. I took a class in seminary one time and this guy came in and introduced this concept. And honestly, I had never really used the scriptures to pray. And it was like this big exercise where we were trying to learn how to use the scriptures to pray. And slowly over time, and then I met you and this lady knows how to pray the scriptures. That's pretty awesome. So,
Well, I'll echo that. I think one of the game changers for me in my prayer life was learning to pray the scriptures and, like, just being willing to do so. I recall a low time and I didn't know what to say to God. And so I just opened to the book of Psalms. I was like, David had a lot to say to God and he had a lot of different kinds of things to say to God. So I would start with Psalm 1 or something like that. And like, well, this isn't where my heart's crying out right now. And then what I'd do is I'd skip ahead to Psalm 31. I'd be like, is this where what my heart needs? Psalm 61, is this what my heart's trying to say? So I would kind of go by 30s, if that made sense. Sometimes I would find at least one thing. I would find at least one Psalm that kind of helps me put to words the things that I'm trying to express to God. I found that to be incredibly helpful in that time. And I'll still go back to that pretty regularly, actually, just praying the Psalms. So.
That's awesome. I was going to ask you, Suzanne, I know we're kind of getting into the nitty gritty. We can come back out and talk about some other things at a higher level, but let's get down to the nitty gritty. How do you think through praying the scripture? Cause if that's a completely foreign concept to somebody who's listening, like, what do you mean by that? Do you just read out a passage out loud? So how do you, Suzanne, think of praying the scriptures?
Well, let me back up on that, because to answer that, I have to go back to what Rex was saying, because that's kind of how I learned to pray as well. Just in a dark time where, I mean, the one time that I had to myself, when you have a bunch of little ones in the house, is before they get up. So while it's still dark, I'd get up and I had a lot of depression, a lot of discouragement. I'd open the Bible and I'd sit there and look at it and I'd say, Lord, I'm not moving until I know you love me. And I would just stare at the pages. And then if I couldn't find anything on there that felt even a tiny bit loving, I'd just turn some pages. And I didn't even go by 30s. It was just like, yeah, wherever. And oh, not that. Oh, that one yesterday. Yeah. No, that was terrible. You know, I just would go around until I found something that I think, well, that's a little bit hopeful.
So were you like looking for promises, but you didn't?
No, I didn't know what I was looking for. Yeah. I didn't have any concept except need. I had this huge need. And I'd get there and I'd just look at it. And I'd look at it for a long time and I'd start to sink in. And honestly, I'm talking over years. It was like it got to where I became more and more just studying the Bible every day and praying those things. I'd look at it and I'd say, okay, Lord.
Yeah.
I didn't say this. You said this. Yeah, yeah. It's right here.
Can you give us a practical, concrete example of something that you learned to pray or prayed from Scripture? I mean, I know I'm asking you like 30 years ago or something like that, but like an example of a kind of thing that you would have learned to pray.
I can think of something close at hand. So I think Psalm 34 is something I pray pretty regularly. And this is not a pity party, but life is full of sorrows, and whether that's your sorrows or that's sorrows that you're sharing with someone that you love. And I think, you know, I have been in times myself where I've felt in deep despair and I felt alone. And, you know, it's easy to pray, easy to look at Psalm 34 and say, God, you say that you are close to the brokenhearted.
Yeah.
I am brokenhearted right now. And I need to feel you close. I need to feel, as it says in Psalms, I need to feel you encamping around me and protecting me. Mm-hmm. So again, that's low hanging fruit, just because Psalm 34 is sort of that, David, and it's weird, it's a different situation. David is praying for the Lord's protection as he's hiding from a king, basically. He's pretending to be insane. But like, but we can take those words, and it's good use of scripture to say, God, you are close to the brokenhearted, and I need to help me feel your closeness in this. Same thing for someone who is near you, who's doing the same, going through something similar.
So if I can come back to your original question, let's say someone's shared a prayer request with me or with us mm-hmm. about some specific need. I will look at that need. I will pray about it, but I'm praying with a listening heart, meaning I'm thinking, what is the focus that we need to pray over? Is this about, you know, praying that this person would have peace? Is this for spiritual protection? Is this for healing? Not just for healing, but what might God's purpose be in this? Is it to get through this struggle? Is it to turn it around? You know, and I usually end up having some kind of sense. And then I start looking for scripture. And so I've spent, you know, I think it's 40 plus years yeah. studying the word. And so I have a lot of things that I can go to in mind, or I have a sense of it and I know how to find it. So I'll start going to these scriptures that I feel like, it's like my heart feels like, oh yes, this helps, this helps. And so mm-hmm. I just go from one to the next until I find one where, one, there's some truth about God.
Yes.
That is valuable in this instance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And two, something that's encouraging to the person mm-hmm. in that position. Mm-hmm. So that their hope connected with who God is, but written in the word and not mm-hmm. out of context.
Sure.
Because I know that sometimes God will speak to us personally and we'll see, think later, well, maybe that's not exactly how it was written mm-hmm. in that time. Yeah. It was meant for David, not for me. But, and that's good. But when you're talking about intercession, I find that I'm really wanting to find something solid that later on, second guessing, you know, if I mm-hmm. share this with someone, they're not going to think that doesn't really apply. I feel dumb now that I believed I had hope, you know, I don't know if that helps.
Yeah.
Answer.
I think it's helpful. Like, I'll give an example of how I might pray scripture if I'm feeling some particular need for provision and I'm praying for that for myself or for somebody else. Like, I've called to mind and prayed Philippians 4:19, and my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ yeah. Jesus. And I will turn that into a petition. Lord, you say that you can supply and will supply all of our needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And so-and-so mm-hmm. is in need of this. And
yep.
so, Lord, according to your riches and glory in Christ, would you give them
yeah.
this? Or there was
yeah.
one time. So that's an example of
that's
like
a
scripture
example.
That you can turn into a prayer. But mm-hmm. I also think just knowledge of knowing what God says in mm-hmm. his word
yeah.
can turn our hearts in prayer. So I'll give you a very practical example. This was like a very, for me, I don't know. I remember being on a prayer walk and I was anxious about something and I was really feeling like, God, like I want you to pay attention to what I'm asking you right now. And there was a dead bird in the road. And I looked at that and immediately I thought of when Jesus said, aren't two sparrows sold for a penny, yet not one of them falls to the ground without your father's consent. That's Matthew 10:29.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it just like this moment, I think it was the Holy Spirit, like, I see this dead bird and I'm like, that did not fall apart. That did not fall to the ground apart from the father's consent or knowledge,
yeah.
however
yeah.
that's interpreted or translated. And therefore, going back to what Jesus says, like, God is going to take care of me. I'm worth more
yeah.
right, than the sparrows.
Mm.
And so it's not that I prayed necessarily that scripture, but that scripture then helped my prayer time that was on during that prayer walk, because I'm so, this sounds gross maybe to people, but now anytime I see a dead bird on the road, I think of the Father's care for me.
It's aww. An Ebenezer. That's all.
Yeah, yeah. It's from the scripture. It's a reminder, like, you are more valuable to the Father than
you are
than,
worth
than
more
sparrows.
Than many sparrows,
yeah.
Tom. Yeah.
And so I think the scripture can sort of form our thinking even as we're praying.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds us who God is. That's the most important thing, is who God is as we're
yeah, absolutely.
Praying.
Well, and we're meant to be witnesses for God. So there's, you know, we're it. As far as here on the earth, people
yeah.
who don't know him, we're going to be the ones that will reflect him in some fashion. Our prayers and our hope and our connecting with who God is glorify him, meaning it makes it so other people can grope to find him more. I mean, his
right.
glory is intended for our benefit, that we would know him, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I have a question for you guys.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd love to kind of explore. Why do you think prayer can be so challenging to people?
Yeah.
Because I think we all who follow Jesus, we're like, prayer's a good thing. Like, we all agree it's good, but why can it be so hard? And I don't know if it's ever been hard for you. You seem like you're kind of naturally taking it. You're like a fish to water. But for many of us normal folk, like, we want to pray.
Yeah.
Why so much prayerlessness?
So I think very practically, people often just don't take the time to do it. And that sounds like a condemnation. I promise it's not. We were talking before we started recording about how some people are have like high achieving personalities, and it feels strange praying comparatively when it comes to like reading the scripture or something like that. Because when I read scripture, part of my brain is working and the accomplishment part of my brain kicks in. It's like, well, I read X number of chapters today, and that is measurable. And that is, for some people, kicks in, and it is a way of thinking about it. Often prayer feels something that we are less in control of. It feels something like it's harder to measure progress with. It doesn't necessarily feel like, well, I'm getting,
you're like doing anything.
Yeah. It doesn't feel like you're doing anything necessarily. Sometimes it feels like it's bouncing off the ceiling or whatever. It feels like it's, or again, your mind wanders. You don't.
So, can I ask, what is prayerlessness?
By prayerlessness, I don't mean you never pray, but kind of a general like apathy toward prayer, and not really engaging in prayer. Like, there's plenty of situations that I have walked into in my life that, gosh, I look back, I'm like, I didn't really even pray that much about that.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I was prayerlessness in those moments. I don't think I'm a prayerless person, but I think prayerlessness is just this inclination to not really pray that much.
So when I would read confidence that I've got this, not even.
Yeah,
thinking.
That's what I'm asking the question. What is it inside of us that leads us to not pray? I think sometimes, it is an over self-confidence. Like it just, or we don't believe that God's actually listening, or we don't believe that he's going to act. And so it's just easier to do stuff on my own.
Or
it's just on a purely concentration level. It's easier to read and stay attuned than it is to pray, because then my mind will just go wandering away. And so I've had to develop techniques for myself to stay on track in prayer. And mostly that is finding a quiet place by myself where I can walk around and I can talk out loud without the fear of being overheard.
Yeah. So that makes sense.
Yeah.
Then I can stay on target. But if I just try to pray silently in my room, I will just either fall asleep or, you know, I'll just lose track of where I'm going.
Okay. If that's what you mean, then I think everyone struggles with that.
Yeah, I do think people, but why? Because if prayer really is as vital, the flesh is weak.
Yeah.
But if prayer is that vital, why isn't like,
but see, what is prayer? What is prayer? It sounds to me like you're saying it's this specific performance where I'm talking to God about dot, 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 dot. Do you see what I'm saying? If that's
okay, let's
all
just say talking to God. Let's say talking to God. Why don't we talk to God?
Sure, it's listening, but I would say that a lot of people don't do that either. If they're, if they're busy, if they're like really busy and their key go-to is not to interact with God about stuff, but to accomplish, to do, then I don't think listening is on the list either.
So I picture the average new Christian, say, as like a baby. Okay. So perfectly capable of voicing things, but really clueless about themselves that they are voicing anything, you know, like, wah, or, you know, whatever, the giggle, giggle. but as a person's growing in Christ, they're learning to communicate better, learning to say, I want that, and no. You know, I'm sure sometimes prayer is like that. It's, I want that, and God, you're doing something. No, I don't want that. And honestly, there's the whole potty training. We learn what to do with sin.
Yeah.
I mean that's a form of like prayer that we have to learn pretty quickly.
Unpack that a little bit.
What? Unpack that?
Yeah, explain that.
Well, I just think that as new believers, we are really clueless about the things that are offensive to God, and we don't know necessarily what he's looking at until he starts to teach us, this is not good. You know, that you sneering at that person, well, not my
way. Is akin to you just pooped in your pants again, and you've got to stop doing that.
It's like, rather than, oh no, I'm ashamed, I'm embarrassed, I don't want anyone to know that I've got poop in my pants, and I, you know, what am I going to do now? He says, go to the bathroom. Get cleaned up. You know, it's like, if we sin, we have someone to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We just deal with it. That's an ongoing process, just like digestion.
And how are you connecting that growth to prayer?
Okay. So what I'm saying is that the reason, it's like, we're alive, and so there's a sense of communicating with God, but we're not really connecting with him hardly at all when we're prayerless. We're just doing.
Right.
You know, the toddler that runs after what it wants, or maybe later, you know, it's like, all right, I did what you asked. Now can I go play? This whole concept of who God is as a father, and learning to understand how we can trust him and who he is. Mm. Learning to understand, you know, asking and being patient with his responses. Mm-hmm. Learning, how do I phrase things so that I know that he's heard me? He already knows what we want.
Yeah.
But what he's looking for is to build that maturity in that relationship. So we could come up every day and just say, I want this. You know, I want this. We've been talking about it every day and you still haven't done it. So I'm done. Let me know what you're going to do, because you're going to do what you're going to do. I mean, we can be that way, but he's thinking, this is about you and me.
That goes back to relationship and father and child. Mm-hmm. That God is not a vending machine in the sky.
Yeah.
And prayer, and that's how oftentimes people think of prayer. It's like, put your money in the machine and God will dispense the goods.
Or he won't.
And then you'll be angry at him. But that's not relationship. Yeah. Actually, so I think in that same seminary class where we were learning to pray scriptures, the same guy gave us these two words that have stuck with me forever, which I think is helpful. Like there's two I words. Like he says, imagine a circle and that embodies like prayer. And the edge of that circle is impact. So there are prayers of impact where you're petitioning, there's supplication, right? But in the center of the circle is intimacy. There's relationship. Mm-hmm. So in my own prayer life, I have plenty of petitions. I have plenty of things that I ask God for. But I think when we talk about gratitude at Imprint, like gratitude is you just thank God. We're called to give him thanks. Like that builds intimacy of relationship with God. You're not asking him for anything. You're just thanking him for what he has already given you. Yeah. And as you do that, like there is a communion. Like what I want in prayer is to experience God. I want to enjoy being in God's presence. Like I could get through my list of petitions and that's fine. But my heart usually isn't like alive in worship when I'm petitioning. It's usually alive in worship when I'm thanking him and I'm just looking at my life and seeing his grace in my life. And that's like, I want to grow in that. Mm-hmm. I want to grow in all that.
Yeah. So the question then we were saying is like, why are people often prayerless? It's an encapsulation of both. Cause there is a sense in which we are always in some sort of communication with God. But like, I think of prayer when we're talking about prayer of like specific communication with God, not necessarily specific supplication, not necessarily specific, adoration and gratitude, but there is a sense in which, people are often just kind of silent before God in one way. And not necessarily silent in a listening way. I'm just saying in a way
they're discouraged.
That's what we mean by prayerlessness. Mm. That's what we're getting at there.
That's helpful.
I don't know. It's interesting.
Well, for me, I've often felt, I know that you think of, I've got all this down. I don't. There's times when I wake up in the morning and I think I haven't a clue how to pray. I don't remember anything I felt like I knew yesterday. Mm. And there have been seasons in my life when I just think that prayerlessness can be from discouragement because we don't understand what he wants.
Sure.
Or we're thinking, I've said it, everything I can think to say, I don't know what to say anymore. Right. And I don't know what he wants to hear.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure what he's going to do.
So
and I
how
know
have
I'm,
you personally gotten over that hump? Because there's some like
it's not
battling
just one hump.
It's not one okay. hump. So okay, historically then, how have you gotten through
when you
face through seasons
hump.
Of that? When you face that, because with the various humps.
Let's say you wake up and you're like, I don't even know how to pray right now. What do you do?
Well, I'm lifting my eyes to him and I'm saying, I feel like I don't remember anything from yesterday. But we're doing this together.
Yeah.
It's like I know who he is.
Well, there's a command to pray in the spirit.
Absolutely.
Right? At all times. And so sometimes when I don't know what to pray or I will enter prayer times that I've carved out. That is another piece of prayer. It goes back to what Rex said. Sometimes we just don't make the time.
Yes.
Like if you view God as a person, make an appointment. Just like you make an appointment to meet up with somebody for coffee or for lunch. Well, make an appointment with God and keep that time and treat him as a person.
Treat him as a person.
Treat him
That's
as a
right.
person. And then so sometimes I'll come into a prayer time that I've scheduled and I'm like, I don't even really feel like praying right now, God. I don't even know what to pray. And I say, Holy Spirit, will you help me pray right
Amen.
Now?
Amen.
Will you help me pray?
Yes.
And I just start talking.
Yes,
and then eventually you kind of, you're like, feel like the Holy Spirit helps me and feels my prayers and feels my worship.
Yeah, the scripture says, and this is the Rex Gorman version, so you can correct me. The scripture says that the Spirit helps us in our weakness because we don't know what to pray for as we ought.
Yeah.
He intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. So
and you keep reading that passage and it says Jesus intercedes for us.
Yeah, exactly.
So wait a minute, the Spirit, we're in Jesus interceded for. I don't know how that works within the Godhead, but
is that in Hebrews? Is that
that's also Romans 8.
Romans 8. Okay. Yeah.
You know, sometimes for me it helps.
But
just
it is Hebrews. Sorry.
It is in Hebrews.
Well.
Yeah. Okay.
Just to kind of evaluate what is my situation, but like in His presence, Like a couple days ago, I was very discouraged, and early in the morning, I'm there with my Bible and my study notes, and I'm rather than doing this kind of study that I normally work on, I was just thinking, I'm so confused by what's been happening lately. You know, our family's going through some hardships, and it was all jumbled up in my mind. Mm-hmm. So here I am saying, I can't even think straight. I don't remember clearly what, I mean, I know what's happening and I don't, it's all messed up. So I started looking up from texts and, you know, my previous notes, trying to figure out what happened when, you know, my daughter's been hospitalized 4 times. And I was thinking, when was that? How did that happen? What day was it? You know, and I just started writing this stuff down, and cause I was simply identifying all these, I mean, everything was in a jumble in my mind. And when I finally figured out roughly how it fit together, I started to feel that sense of closeness with God. It's like, here's my mess. And, you know, and I know that he knows, but he knows that I need to figure that out. Yeah. It's like, the reason I feel this way is because, emotionally, you know, with the weight and the sorrow and the difficulty, it's hard to think clearly. And it's hard to pray when you're like that. So just addressing where I'm at and writing that down was very peaceful.
Yeah.
And I can look at that and say, okay, I have a record, but also it's a record in heaven. And sometimes I need to know, because I know intellectually that he has a record, but sometimes I need to see something and say, okay, you know this. You have this record. It's in your presence. And it's like, as I calm down those, that anguish or that stress, that's when his truth that he's ministering to me all the time, it just starts to come to me. And it's like, I'm thinking, okay, yeah. Oh, look at this. I happen to have my Bible open right here on this one passage that really ministers to me. You know, like there's this verse that he says, it says something like, the Lord delights in the well-being of his servants. He delights in that. I thought, of course I can hope and pray for the well-being of my children, because
100%
he delights in that. You know, that's where who he is and scripture come together into the dark where you don't know what's coming. And that's prayer. And so I feel like we underestimate how much of our lives are prayer and how much is key to prayer. So our imaginations ought to be prayer.
Yeah. And I don't mean to discount that the only time that you're ever in a posture of prayer is when you're like vocalizing or verbalizing something. But I guess I want to expressly put my finger on something that I see. Like a lot of us just don't talk to God that much.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So to back out a little bit, and I know we're kind of into the existential,
but
to back out and go, I saw,
cause there's part of it's like, if everything is prayer, then that can kind of feel like nothing.
Like I heard,
prayer.
I read, I don't remember, this is years ago, so I don't know the statistics. Hopefully they're better than this, but I remember reading like the average pastor spends less than 10 minutes a day in prayer.
Yes.
And I'm like, that's problematic, and I don't want to be in that category. I want to talk to God more. Like, I just want to talk to, I want to learn to talk to God more.
I remember Andrew Murray wrote this book where he was saying, what if Christians would spend 10 minutes a day in prayer? And then he wrote this whole chapter about it that was so powerful and so convicting. I thought, wow, I'm going to do that. But that's targeted prayer, and those things are important. And apart from that, really, I mean, we can't have just like a life that is sort of walking in prayer if we don't have those things that you're talking about. If we don't set aside.
The more you do that, then the more like I think you begin to learn how to just live in God's presence.
That's right.
There's times when I go on a prayer walk and I feel like I'm out. Like I feel like, okay, Lord, I've like kind of poured my heart out and I could keep going, but I kind of feel done until I get to the end of this walk. And I just like literally just walk with God. I'm
so
like, God, I'm,
listen.
I say, I say, God, I'm just going to walk. I'm just going to walk with you. And I don't say anything.
There's times when I'm like that, you know, I don't have anything conscious to offer him, but I'll be walking around and I'll be looking. And I'm thinking, what do you see when you look at this house or you look at those people or those, that hill over there? I just am just looking. And then sometimes all I can pray is something like, okay, Lord, that house. I don't know what else to say, but right. I can offer up the fact that, oh, there may be a need for prayer there. I can just say, what, that person.
Yeah, I think I just want to observe at this point that I'm not claiming to have gotten this down at all, or you're not claiming to have gotten this down, but I think what we're saying is that there, it is a process in which you learn to commune with God. And usually begins by just some baby steps, right? And
totally.
Carving out some time.
Yeah, and I think generally the more holistic prayer life comes out of that very intense, like that very specific, like I'm talking with God explicitly. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense, it usually isn't the inverse from my experience. It's usually the more time I'm spending in like specific discipline prayer.
That
outflows kind of to my whole life.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys have the same experience.
I think,
absolutely.
Going back to that question, why is prayerlessness a problem? One of the statements or phrases that we have around Imprint Church is this idea of prayerful dependence.
Yeah.
Now we are very, I mean, what's humanity's problem?
We're self-sufficient.
Like, self-sufficiency. Especially, it's our declaration of independence from God in the garden. Mm-hmm. Like years ago, there was a Christian teacher and writer who described sin in very plain terms as our declaration of independence from God. We're saying, I'm going to be independent from you. I want to live life in my own terms. And so that's what sin is. It's a posture of, I got this. I'm going to live life by my own terms. And so not talking to God is just a way of living out our own self-sufficiency. And then when we hit a time of need, then we're like, oh, you know, one of them will cry out to God, right?
Something we ought to touch on is just the reality of, I don't know if you guys have had this experience, but sometimes when you're thinking, okay, I'm going to focus this time on prayer, or I'm going to focus on prayer for this situation, you suddenly encounter all of your insecurities, all of your rebellion, all of your embarrassments, all of the assaults on your mind and, you know, interruptions. And it's like, what about that?
What do you do with that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that,
I mean, you could pray about them. I mean, I'm not even joking. I had a guy that I was helping out who, you know, started following Jesus, and he had some questions about stuff, and he said, man, like when I start praying, I just really don't feel like it. And I'm like, well, just tell God that. Like that sounds really like mean or like
blunt,
but
good.
It's like, talk to God about how you don't want to talk to him. Like he's there and he'll listen to that. You don't have to have yourself put together. Like,
So I was talking with a pastoral counselor, and he suggested finding a quiet place in like just where it's quiet. Like even if it's like the middle of the day, if you're at home, go to your bedroom, shut the door, pull the blinds, let it be a quiet place and sort of just quiet yourself down, you know, and just come into the Lord's presence. Right. And just quiet yourself down.
It takes time to learn that.
Yes. Otherwise, you know, if you have your phone next to you and you're like trying to have a quiet time and like your notifications are going
off,
good luck. That's not going to work. So we are embodied. We're embodied beings, right? We have a body, we have space, we're in space. And so like, if we can shut out some noise and sort of like draw ourselves into a place of quiet, that actually can help your mind to kind of focus in.
Totally.
Brother Lawrence, he had some good thoughts on, I found it helpful as a new Christian reading Brother Lawrence's conversation on, because he felt like he just, anytime his mind wandered from God or if he felt convicted about something, he would come back and think, Lord, that's just who I am. That's apart from you, you know, thank you. That you always welcome me back. And so he found it very easy to just keep bringing his attention back.
Right.
That idea was helpful to me. Also, having some scripture.
Yes,
you got it. Yeah.
To just like ponder or just dwell on is also, for me, that's helpful to bring the mind into
submission in a way.
Yeah.
You're focusing your mind.
Yeah. There was one whole year where the only verse, I'm not kidding when I say the only verse, the only verse I found comfort in and could dwell on was, let not your heart be troubled. John 14:1a. And I mean, for a year in Israel, I just lived there. That was the only verse I could read.
Man.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, don't know, thinking about prayerlessness and what might happen. I think I touched on something a second ago that I want to spend a little more time talking about. I think there's this urge, and we've already talked a little bit about how this is not necessarily the right thing. There's this urge to have these great words put together to say instead of just crying out to God.
Yeah.
And that's what, you know, my friend was dealing with. But how would you guys counsel someone who feels like they have to say the right words to God for God to hear, or like, whether that's implicit or explicit, that if that's a barrier for them, just not being able to just be honest and say what's on their heart, what would you say to them?
Say, that's the dumbest thing I've ever
heard.
There
you go. All right. Next question.
No. Just kidding.
How helpful.
No, I would go back to what Suzanne said. We are children.
Yeah.
We are children, and children learn how to talk to their parents, right?
Yeah.
And their parents love it. I got sad when my children learned to say things correctly. I wanted them to keep saying it incorrectly because it was so cute.
Yeah,
right.
I get that.
Obviously you can't draw the analogy too far, or else that's going to be dumb. Right. But like the idea that God is our father and he delights to hear his children. And even if we're babbling and cooing, like we don't have the right words, and
yeah,
we just learn. It's we're talking to God with the language that we have,
yeah,
and we will grow. Right.
Totally.
And I would say there's nowhere in scripture that leads me to believe.
We have to put ourselves together.
You have to put yourself together, and you got to put together the right words.
Yeah, that's true. I think I can't remember what book it was from, but there was someone who pointed out that it is not an inconvenience or a bummer. Basically, that's not what they said. Mm. They said it's not an inconvenience or doesn't make God angry to exercise grace. Like he's joy filled to do so. So if we find ourselves in the point of needing grace, whether that's in because of sin or just we're feeling shame or whatever, God is delighted to offer that. So I think that carries over into our prayer life, in that we don't have to feel like we have to put ourselves together, dust ourselves off,
right,
say the right things. It's what you said, Suzanne, like God wants communion with us. Like that's what prayer is. Prayer is talking. Prayer is speaking with God.
And scripture can help there too, because
absolutely,
sometimes you can find something there that you think, yeah, that's good. That catches it. I find that there's times when I really need to find the right words, and it's an emotional need that I have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll keep fumbling with the same thing until I feel like I've said it well enough to relieve my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I know all along that he's understood me.
It's not so much that God needs to hear the perfect words, that you need to clarify. You need to express it. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Totally. That's a good point.
Yeah.
What would you guys say to someone who's like, yeah, I want to grow in prayer. How do I do that?
That might hit on, I have a note here I was thinking it'd be good to touch on, that we often, as I think historically, it's like, it's this generation, or maybe it's American, but we tend to focus a lot on individual prayer, and we don't think of about corporate prayer or praying with others.
Mm-hmm.
But like in Acts 1, after Jesus ascended into heaven, Peter was with the brothers and sisters, about 120 of them.
And they're all praying, right?
And they were continually united in prayer. That's what it says. I mean, this behavior of praying with others is really strengthening. It really builds. And we make the mistake of, it's not just that we pull away or that we're embarrassed or we don't know how. There's like a social pressure to be independent and capable.
Yeah.
To just stand up on your own two feet and do it for yourself. And even prayer, we can make the mistake of thinking that we have to at least be able to pray for things by ourselves.
Hmm.
Whereas really the body is designed that we can't. We ought to have a private personal life of prayer that's really abundant and flourishing and all of that, of course.
Yes.
But we are members of a body.
Yes.
And praying together is the model, and it is the health of the church. And so when you hear someone else pray for you or pray for something that you've brought to them, and they're saying, you hear them say the things that you asked for prayer for, it stirs this hope inside of you. It's like, I'm not crazy. It's not just me over and over saying, please, please, God, please, please.
Yeah.
It's there's somebody else that's saying, yeah, this is worth praying about. And this specific thing is good. And there's this hope of who God is. It's encouraging, and it's lightening of the heart.
Yeah.
And you hearing other people pray is a good way to learn to pray, even though there is that possibility that people will say, well, I can't pray like, you know, Suzanne mm-hmm. says things better than I do. That's dumb.
Right. Oh,
I mean, she wasn't joking. Yeah.
I'm sorry. No,
you're good. You're
I mean, there's God isn't impressed
right, yeah.
with one person's way of putting sure. words together versus another. But what is encouraging is hearing prayer.
Yes.
And agreeing in prayer. Yes. We're all in the same room praying for the same thing, for hope or for resolution or for, you know, whatever the situation is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I was kind of share a story real quick. I was talking with an older saint in our congregation, a gal that I really respect, and she meets with a group of friends who are elderly ladies in our church, and they alternate between Bible study 1 week and then prayer the next week. And she said to me, and this is not a boast in any way, she is just marveling at how her experience of prayer with a group. She says, I have never experienced this before. We'll pray for 2 hours and it'll end. And I feel like there's not enough time. Like, that's special. Like mm-hmm. that's praying with other people. And I know they're praying for our church. And she mm-hmm. said, they pray for me. And I'm just blessed by that. Like, who knows yeah. how much grace has come to me in my life just from God hearing and answering their prayers. Right.
Yeah.
I've said to Suzanne, I have no idea how much God has done in our church based on your prayers. And maybe I'm standing on my 2 feet right now because you've prayed for me and I'm not like crazy and quit or something like that, you know, somewhere yeah. along the way. And how much grace can come to us from God in response to our prayers. But also there's a grace experience while you're praying with other people. Like you're saying, Suzanne, there is hope that rises up in our hearts. I'm not mm-hmm. crazy. Like, we're doing this together. There's mm-hmm. an encouragement. So we're not necessarily praying together for that encouragement, but that is how gracious God is, that yeah. he will not only hear and answer our prayers according to his wisdom and kindness, but he also allows us to be encouraged and strengthened through praying with others.
Yeah. I think what people expect as far as a time commitment impacts how well they can settle into a prayer time. Mm-hmm. So if you're thinking, okay, we just had a group that met for an hour and a half and we're going to close in prayer, then you've got that fidgety, yep. come on, 5 minutes, that's long enough. You know, we got to go and it's
yeah.
late. And
yeah.
But if you're thinking, we're gathering and we know we're going to be sitting mm-hmm. here for 2 hours and we're just going to pray, you just kind of settle in
yeah.
and you calm down and you begin to, you know, you spend the first 20 minutes just quietening your heart or just mm-hmm. calming, you know, somebody's saying this or that. And eventually there's like this tuning that happens mm. where people's hearts are getting more like aligned.
Mm-hmm.
Years ago I saw this, I don't know if this is really dated or what, but it was like a little like a biology type video, and it showed these individual heart cells and each one was like doing these tiny little beats. It was beating just these mm-hmm. beats, and they were in this same petri dish under a microscope, you know, and all beating in different rhythms at different times. Mm. And as they were beating, they were drawing closer together. And by the time they were all together, they were beating in sync.
Oh, interesting.
It was, I just think of that when I think mm-hmm. of people gathering for prayer, and especially if you're not rushed
right.
and no one there is feeling yeah. fidgety, it's not like, wow, those are the warriors. It's just like, no, this is a blessing that God has for people.
Yeah.
Everyone is on the prayer team. Everyone, I mean, this is who we are.
Totally. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Can I get really practical with some stuff? It's stuff we've already kind of talked about a little bit, but I'd say if you're trying to grow in prayer, first of all, like, have a healthy view of what a healthy prayer life is. You know, sometimes it's really out there. It's like, just be better at praying.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you, I guess. No, I mean, like, I think what we're aiming for here again is communion with God. We're aiming at having time in prayer that focuses our affections on him, that helps us return to him quickly throughout the day if in times of need. But also we're looking to, just spend time communicating our heart to God and hopefully aligning our heart to his. So like, it's not this big thing. You have to have 4 hours of uninterrupted prayer every day before you go.
I don't have that.
I don't have that either. I mean, I have young kids, so of course, but like, I think having a healthy view and not trying to,
you don't
like,
have 4 minutes of anything interrupted,
basically not having like this unhealthy view of like, if I don't do this, then I'm not doing it right.
Right.
Or that it's a ladder.
It's
exactly.
It's not a ladder.
I'd also say, like, you know, very practically what we talked about before, schedule it. You know, if you want to get better, if you want to grow in prayer, set aside time that is undistracted, set aside time where you won't be distracted and a place where you won't be distracted, and talk to God. If you need words, start with like the Lord's Prayer or something. Start there. Start with words that are already there for you, and try talking to God. It doesn't have to be, again, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. It's not meant to necessarily be like a portal to spiritual happiness, but like set aside time for it, set aside distractions in order to do it, and then just try it. I don't know what else to say.
Another thing that teaches prayer, mm-hmm. and of course, just seeing that word, God is the one who's teaching us. He's the one that wants to help us learn this. It's not like we're helpless. But compassion teaches prayer, because if you're in a situation where you see someone in need and you want to help them, or they're in a crisis and you want to help them, and you aren't capable of meeting their needs, and you don't have enough connections, or nobody's responding of you trying to get the help they need, mm-hmm. you're in a position where you're forced to admit, I can't solve this, and I'm worried that no one will. So talk to mm-hmm. the person who knows what to do. Yeah, you know, it's like I learned so much about prayer by being forced to pray,
right?
Because I felt so helpless. Mm. And honestly, press into your doubts. I can't tell you how many times I'd pray about something thinking, obviously it's really lame that I'm not helping. I can't, Lord, I hope you find some way, you know, help this person out. And, and lo and behold, here God steps in just faithfully like he is. And I'm surprised.
Yeah.
Why am I surprised? I realized he put me more and more in situations where I was more and more pathetically lame so that I could realize I'm counting on my own strength.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm counting on what I can do. And
well, see, that's our bent toward self-dependency and self-sufficiency.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I would never wish or pray suffering upon anyone.
No.
But suffering is one of the tools that God uses, and one of the instruments that he can use to reveal our inadequacy and to reveal our insufficiency, to demonstrate his sufficiency.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of the benefits.
Absolutely. I think one other practical thing that you can do is if you're not sure what to say, default to gratitude. There's a lot to be grateful for.
Yeah.
And you know, I think we can, again, feel the need to have a list of things we're supposed to ask for, like it's Santa Claus, or we need to have a perfect thing that we can be proud of or whatever. But I think defaulting to gratitude for what God has done
is very easy to thank God and to see things. I mean, I think that's one of the ways that we could do a whole other podcast on teaching our kids to pray and how we do that. I've just obviously not done this perfectly, but one of the ways in which I have tried to cultivate prayer in my own family with my kids is say, hey, we're going to go around the circle and we're going to each say one thing that we're thankful for, and then think of one thing to pray for, whether that's for someone else in this family for somebody else. And it's very concrete.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, just kids can go, well, I'm really thankful, like, I got to play my soccer game today, mm-hmm. you know, and they have a friend whose dad's in the hospital. And so then they pray for that friend's dad.
On another level, there are people that make extensive prayer lists. And they write down things they hear and things that people say, and they're going to pray for those. Yeah. I found those to be a stumbling block for me. And it's not that I never write things down.
Sure.
I do. But if I think of it as, here's my prayer list I have to go through, then what I'm really mm-hmm. doing is I'm saying, there's a limit to what I can pray for.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if I go beyond, I'm setting myself up for failure. So don't tell me your prayer needs.
Yeah.
But I'm serious. It was a stumbling block to me. But I know it's really helpful for many people.
Yeah, it can be. Mm-hmm.
And of course, like I said, I write a ton of things down, but I think it's practical that in the moment that you hear a prayer need,
to pray
with them. And if you're not comfortable, ask the Lord to teach you to be comfortable, but also just in your heart, the moment there's quite a lull in the conversation, Lord, help me pray about this.
Mm-hmm.
And just do it right away, and don't let it be a guilt thing, like, and the back of your mind, I can't come to God right now because there's 27,000 people I told him I'd pray for that I didn't, you know, sorry, God, I'm a failure and I'm a loser. You know, why would I say lies to myself based on prayer?
I think that, I love that. And I might go one step further. And my old pastor used to say, he's like, if you're talking with someone on Sunday, he's like, don't tell, or anytime, don't tell someone you just pray for them, because you probably forget. He goes, just pray for them right there.
Yeah.
Yep.
And honestly, like God has given me so many sweet ministry moments on a Sunday. Just saying, can I pray for you? Like somebody tells, I ask somebody how they're doing and they share something. And I was like, hey, can I pray for you about that? And so we bow our heads right there. I mean, anyone can do that. Yes, anyone in the body who knows the Lord has an invitation to pray and can have literally a ministry on the spot right there on a Sunday morning, holding your coffee cup, even if your kid's tugging on your arm,
really
just say a quick prayer. Just say, Lord, you know what they just shared, and would you hear them? When would you answer them? And you could be as specific as you want. It could be, it literally could be 10 seconds and that person is being prayed for and they're being encouraged just because you prayed for them.
Yeah. Don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good. Like you can, you can say a quick prayer and it's heard. Like it's not like you, again, even though we're saying it's good to get in places where you're not distracted, it doesn't have to be perfect. It could be that quick prayer, like the quick cry out to God for someone is really encouraging. Let me ask this. This is a funny thing to end on. But what do you think we're shooting for when it comes to a healthy prayer life for a Christian? What would you, if you're going to describe some, like a healthy prayer life for a Christian, what would you say?
I think I would say that a healthy prayer life is somebody who carves out some dedicated time to spend with the Lord. And yes, your whole day is lived in front of his face and growing in that awareness and knowledge. But there is something just about the habits and the practices about getting to a place that is quiet, you know, the famous quiet time, you know, however you want to organize that. For me personally, I feel like being in the Bible first then gives my mind something to focus on to pray. So I usually go in that direction. Not always. Sometimes I'll start with prayer and I'll do Bible later. But I think healthy would not be measured necessarily by the thing happening, because you could have an unhealthy, anemic prayer life and you're doing it every morning and you're half asleep the entire time. So
it's
just doing it.
It's better than nothing.
It's better than nothing.
I did that for
many years.
So
I would say, you know,
take
somebody,
it till you make it.
You're actually, carving out space and you are actually like, it's becoming a habit.
Yeah.
It's becoming a habit to pray.
Yeah.
And you yourself are experiencing more of God. You're experiencing more of that intimacy.
Yeah.
You are seeing the impact of your prayers in the lives of others, hopefully, as God's listening to you. But even if you don't see immediate and, you know, dramatic responses, it doesn't matter because you are meeting with God and you're just growing in your relationship with him.
Suzanne, what would you say?
I would say, yes, I agree with what you're saying. I think if there's something happening, you're driving, you're doing some cleaning or whatever, and you don't have to have background noise, you know, podcast, music, take times where you just are quiet to listen. I mean, we talked about quieting our hearts. It's actually really hard to develop the skill of quieting your heart.
Yes.
And it's easy to get out of that. It's it truly is something where if you practice it every day, it's easier to go there.
Yeah.
But in difficult seasons, it can get to where it's really hard to quiet your mind and your heart again.
Yeah.
But the Lord does, he does give us understanding. It may not be an audible voice.
Mm.
It may not be earth shaking. It might be really gentle, but there's times when we just begin to know something about him or about some situation or some person that we're just suddenly really burdened for and thinking, oh, this poor person, I don't know what's happening right now, but I know it's been rough. And just to be in a listener in that way so that you can pray.
Totally. It's hard to make that space if you're filling all the space.
Yeah. You know? If you've always got,
always have podcasts. Always have
so
music,
this
whatever.
Conversation about prayer goes with another set of practices that are like, if you read the books on spiritual disciplines, you're pretty much always going to come across something that's about silence and solitude.
Yeah.
And they separate it from prayer?
No, not necessarily, but they're probably usually connected to prayer, but the importance of actually being alone and being in a quiet place, I think that goes hand in hand with prayer, because you may have all the noise off, but there's a lot of noise in your head, right? I have a lot of noise in my head and it would take some time to like slow down enough.
That's
to just
what
be
I'm
like,
talking about. Yeah.
But I don't think that you can turn off the noise in your head if you're actually in a very noisy environment and never have like a quiet
moment. No, you have to learn that practice in quiet.
Yeah.
Then later on you can go there.
Sure.
Yeah.
But it's like Jesus said, find a quiet place and pray to your Father in secret.
Yeah.
That's something that builds so that inside of you, you have a refuge, a secret place. And even
that inner
you know,
life.
In a hospital, you can just quiet your mm-hmm. heart and lift the eyes of your heart to the Lord.
Well, I might add one more thing to what Rex's question about how, like, what would be a sign? Well, I think what would be a sign that you're growing in a prayer life? I think your ability to pray with other people as well. So not just thinking on the individual level, but with others, right? Mm-hmm. Can you find yourself entering into prayer and worship with others when you're, not just when you're by yourself, but with others in the body? I think that'd be
good. Jesus said, where two or more are gathered.
Right. And he also said, he said, our Father, not my Father. If he would have said, my Father who's in heaven, maybe you're praying alone in your closet. Yeah. Maybe. I don't know if the our, the first person plural, means we're necessarily praying this together, but it certainly doesn't rule that out. Right?
Well, it's right after that where he said, if two of you can agree on anything, your Father will give it to you.
So it's said in the context of first person plural, seems corporate.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, that's great stuff. I think Tom McGregor, I've heard him say several times, anything worth doing is worth doing poorly.
I agree with that.
Even if you do it poorly.
So even if you do it poorly.
Because if the alternative is not doing it.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And that's what we do. It's like, I don't want to stick my neck out. I don't want to look like a fool.
I do a lot of things poorly.
Me too.
Is that good?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm great at doing things poorly.
No, it is good because that's denying yourself. Mm. Your pride is to say, well, this must be done. So I'm willing to do it poorly, even though I'm embarrassed or it's hard.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. So whether you go to Imprint Church or not, if you're listening to this, we hope that you will acknowledge the presence of God in your life. He is there. Let's as a community practice prayer, even if we're practicing it poorly. That's another good reason for using the word practice instead of a discipline. It's like, it's got something that's going to grow. I think one thing that we should do as we end this podcast, can we pray for the people of Imprint? Just that they would be rooted in prayer, that we'd grow into prayerful dependence, that we would have the boldness to pray imperfectly and constantly, and that our Father who, you know, hears us in secret would meet us.
Why don't you just pray those things?
Why don't you pray those things?
I'm going to pray what I'm going to pray.
Cool. Yeah. God, I pray all the things that I just said, that we would be a people who is okay praying imperfectly, understanding that you're going to hear us, you're going to meet us. Lord, I pray that you get rid of any performance aspect of this, where we feel that we must measure up to a certain standard in order to be heard, that we must clean ourselves up. That's not the gospel. God, that we must pray for a certain amount of time or in a certain way or using just the right words, whatever. God, I pray that you'd get rid of those false ideologies, those false ideas around what it takes to be heard. And God, that we would just have communion with you. Lord, that you would mold our hearts to yours, that we would cast our anxieties and our needs on you, that you may hear them and act. God, I pray that we would be a people who are prayerfully dependent.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Yes, Father. Yes, Father. Thank you so much that it's mind-boggling to think that there's just three of us here in this room with the microphones, but the people listening are praying as well, and you're hearing. I just thank you for the communion that we have, the fellowship in the Spirit, because of Jesus. Lord, we love Jesus. We love you, Father, and we need your help to know you better, to grow in relationship with you and communion with you and learning to communicate. And I'm sure there's many things we could have said that we didn't touch on that people are thinking, I wish they had touched on that. So, Lord, I ask that you would address those things. The fears, the concerns, the disappointments, the pain that talking about prayer might bring up. Lord, how many things have we committed to your care that we're waiting and longing to see you do? Help us to be waiting for you until you come, however long it takes, and trusting you. Lord, there's ones that we love. There are those who are suffering. There are those who are wandering far away. We look to you. You're the Savior. You are the Good Shepherd. You're the one that leaves the 99 and goes after the one who's lost. Father, teach us to pray. Holy Spirit, teach us to pray. Lord, I ask that you would make us a people who, whether waking or sleeping, whether consciously or unconsciously, that the eyes of our heart would be turning to you drawing close to you, seeking your face. And Lord, we have that hope that one day we will see you face to face, which is mind-boggling. I praise you for that. I thank you for that. Lord, so many things. I can't even think of how to say them all, but you hear them. And you hear the hearts of the people who are agreeing with us right now in prayer. Lord, encourage them and strengthen them. Empower them and show them many answers to prayer so they'll be motivated to pray more and to trust you more. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. All right, Imprint Church, we'll be back in a few weeks, and maybe after this podcast plays, don't let it autoplay. Maybe you should just pause and take a moment to pray for yourself, pray by yourself. But we hope you will, you'll pray even if you're starting out poorly. Hope you'll pray even if it's in a hurry or if it's busy. We're praying for you, and we'll see you soon.
Thanks for listening. For more information and resources from Imprint Church, you can download our app or head to imprintchurch.org.